You know, we're going to continue to talk about being a disciple. Who still wants to be a disciple? Still want to be a disciple? Okay. I want to tell you something really interesting that has happened. Avalon Borough, Pastor Ed, Avalon, is doing a community event for everybody in Avalon to talk about, you know, getting people together like in the olden days and, you know, really truly trying to grow the community back together. And they're going to be doing this September 29th. That's next Saturday. And again, it's a big community event. And they were looking for a guest speaker to speak at that event. Guess who they called?
You.
Me. They called me. And they said, you know, you graduated from Avalon High School. And I said, yeah, I did. And I lived in Avalon all my life. Yep, I did that too. And it was this guy named Denny. He said, well, we're looking for a guest speaker from the borough. And we would like for you to be the guest speaker. And I said, what time? They said 10 o'clock. I said, I'll take care of it. And so now he said to me, remember, it's not church. And I said to him, it will be. So I will be speaking for the Avalon Building the Community thing down at Avalon Park on Saturday 29th. And just keep that in your prayer that, you know, I'm able to reach some people. Because how many know it's going to be church by the time I'm done? It will be church, right? It will be church. Avalon Park, by the swimming pool, yeah, back in the back where the pavilion is. Yeah, I'll be there 10 o'clock Saturday morning, so that's pretty cool. So we've been talking about, you know, prayer as being a very big disciple discipline, and obviously that it is. But we talked about the next phase of discipleship, and that's having a mind like Christ. A mind like Christ. Now, how many of you know you really have a mind like yourself? That's really, how many know that's really part of the deal? That's part of the problem. Because we're more like who?
Us.
Now, you need to think that through. You need to think that through because, you know, I would assume that everybody in this room is saved. I would assume that. And I would also assume that most of us who are saved were not saved, you know, at 5 or 6 or 7. Most of us. Most of us came to know the Lord later on in life. How many does that ring true to? Right? It makes true. So most of us who came to know the Lord later on in life had many years of practice of being who?
Us.
You. And a lot of us honed those skills. A lot of us are pretty good at being yourself. How many understand that? And how many of you know that even though you're born again and you now have Christ living within you, how many would say that you yourself, the you wants to come out sometimes? Right? Like my lay chaplain, I have my assistant, she has, her name is Kelly, but she has an evil twin. And she calls her evil twin Shelly, right, Sue? And we have a Kelly and we have a Shelly. They occupy the same place. How many got an evil twin sometimes too? And she, you know, he or she just comes out at the wrong time, right? As Pastor Ed often tells me, an evil twin sometimes needs a what? A little switch. How many know the switch can be kicked on at any time? And I'm going to give you an idea of when the switch comes on. I'm going to give you an idea when the switch comes on. You're sitting at a red light. And the light is red. You're sitting there, right? Listening to K-Love, of course. You know, praise God from who, Bob. And all of a sudden, the light turns green. You step on the gas. And you're going out the intersection. A guy blows right by you. Almost takes you out. How many want to make a right-hand turn and get onto the red light? Right? You want to get down to the red light, park next to the person who almost smashed you, and you want to pray for them, right? You want to tell them all about the love of God in your heart. That's what you want to do, right? How many of you know the you is coming out? Right? The you is coming. Now, you could be left church. Here's the sad part about it. You could have left church and gone on to the red light, you know, man, that Pastor Tom, boy, he nailed it today, man. He's a really good preacher. I hope they're talking about stuff like that. You know? They're sitting at the red light, step on the gas, boom, there goes the car. Hey, what the? Right? Here's another one of the yous that comes out. You're in the Walmart. You're in a hurry. And you got like 5 things in your buggy. And you go up there to the 20-item express aisle, and a lady's got 82 items in there. And you know it's 82 because you counted them. What's that lady doing this? I can't believe it. And you want to say something. How many know the you's just about ready to come out? Hey, lady, this is the 20 item aisle. The you just wants to come out. Doesn't that? The you just like right there. Or you go into McDonald's and you order a number one. Who knows what a number one is? That's a Big Mac. Fries. And you're in a hurry. You're in a hurry. You know, you got half hour for lunch. I take a number one. Take a number one. You go outside. It's a fish sandwich. And you're allergic to fish. And you just want to go in there and say, hey, what's wrong with you? How much brain did it take to work at McDonald's? But you just wants to come out. How many know that you will come out at the wrong time? How many of you in this room ever had the you come out? See? Could we have a mind more like who? And disciples are trying to control that mind. Let's go back to my story. You're sitting at the red light. You mind your own business. You got K-Love on, right? And you're singing, Lord, I lift your name on high. You just praise him. Praise you, God. You're so awesome. And your green light goes. You pull. And a guy goes, almost hit you. And see, but what you didn't know is that he got a phone call from Children's Hospital that his little kid got hit by a bike. And he's laying in the street. And they want him to get to Children's Hospital as quick as he can. But see, you didn't know that. Because all you're worried about is who? You. See, the world always evolves around who? You. It always revolves around you. You're in a Walmart store, right? You got those five irons. The lady's ahead of you, and she got all those irons, and you just want to read her the riot act. But see, what you didn't know is she just got a phone call about her breast biopsy. It's positive. And she's not thinking clear. But it's all about who? You. It's always about who? You. You go into McDonald's and you order number one to get a fish sandwich. You want to go read this kid the riot act. But see, what you didn't know, he just got turned down for a student loan. And he don't know how he's going to afford to go to college. But see, you didn't know that. Because all you really knew was what? You. All about you. And see, the world for disciples doesn't evolve around you. In discipleship, the world evolves around him and everybody else. He'll take care of you. How many understand that? See, a disciple would do this. You're at the red light. You step on the gas, a guy blows right by you, go to the next place you can park, put the car in, pee, and say, Lord, bless that man. Wherever he is going in such a hurry, Lord, it must be extremely important to that guy. So, Lord, bless him. And wherever he's going, whatever the circumstances are, Lord, I pray your merciful blessings on that person. That's a disciple. That's a disciple. You go into Walmart, you got your five items in your little buggy, and she's got 82. And you just want to read it a riot act. You know what a disciple would do? Hey, do you need any help? Can I help you with anything at all? See, a disciple would pull the buggy, and Lord bless that lady. Her mind is just 1,000 miles away, preoccupied with so much stuff. Lord, obviously she can read. This is the 20-item aisle. Lord, she must be so weighted down with concerns in her life. That's a disciple. Everybody understand that? You go into McDonald's and you get the wrong order. Don't go busting in there. What, for $5? Really? You do that? Sit out of your car and say, Lord, whatever is going on in that person's life, whatever it is, Lord, bless them. They are just absolutely consumed with something. How many understand that? That's discipleship. The other way of chasing a guy down, worldly. Who can do that? Who can chase a guy down the street? How many people have you seen getting into goofiness because they're chasing people down the street, right? Who can do that? And that's why the wide road has those people on it. And we are what? On the narrow road. What a learning opportunity you would have to be in a car with somebody sitting next to you when somebody blows through the light. The person said, you believe what that person did? He said, no, as a matter of fact, we're going to pull over and pray for him. What a learning opportunity. Wouldn't it be? So how many of you still want to be a disciple? How many of you know it takes some discipline? And it takes some dying to self. You see, what has to happen, church, is we've got to decrease and he's got to increase. A lot less of us and a lot more of him. How many understand that? True. It's true. How many know to work on it? How many need to work on that some more? You got to work on it, right? Sometimes, you know what? We go home at night and we say, Lord, why did I say the things I said? Lord, forgive me. I've engaged my mouth before I've engaged my brain again. How many can pray prayers like that? Oh, Lord, the things I've said. I'm going to give you a good hint. Don't wait at night. When you get up first thing in the morning, just say, Lord, keep my mouth shut. Lord, just keep my big mouth shut all day today. Lord, don't let me say it. Lord, keep my mouth shut. If you do that, guess what? You won't be praying at night. Why'd I have to say those stupid things? And so in discipleship, we've got to understand that we have got to have the mind of who? Christ. Turn in your Bibles. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5.
Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus.
Let this mind be in you. The mind that was in Christ Jesus. And you've got to understand something. That everybody in this room, we have the opportunity to have a lot of people's minds. We really do. We go and buy all kinds of books about different thought processes and how to treat one another. Joel Osteen sells a lot of books. But you know what? I got a better teacher than him. And the book's already been written. And guess what? You can get one for free. True? Okay, now back there on that table back there, we have a sound system. You heard it go, psh. And it has an instruction manual with it. And if we want to kind of figure out in theory what happened to that, we would do what? Read the instruction manual. That's what we would do, right? Now, we can sit there all day long without an instruction manual, push some buttons to try to figure out what's wrong with it. But there's a shortcut. What is it? Instruction manual. How many understand that? Now, listen to me. I cannot to my car and get my owner's manual from my Toyota Matrix and come on in here and try to fix that sound system. Why? Well, because Toyota didn't make that sound system. True? What kind is that? Peavey. I would want a contact too. Peavey. Why? They made it. Me calling Toyota ain't going to do me no good. Me talking to this guy ain't going to do me no good. So if he's retired, he can have time to work on it though, right? But I mean, I got to call who? Peavey. Because they created it. And because they created it, they have the what? Manual. Well, guess what? Somebody created you. And going to Dr. Phil ain't cutting it. You know why? Because he didn't make you. And going to Oprah, you know what I say? Nope to Oprah. You know why? Going to her ain't going to do no good. Go to the one who created you because he's got the owner's manual. Somebody will hold up an owner's manual. That's it. You want to know how to have an abundant life? Read the manual. Read the manual. And what we got to have is a mind like who? Christ. Not a mind like yours. You fact is you got to get rid of that one and get more of his. How many understand that? All right, I bring a new baby into the world. Brandy new baby. Well, no, sissy's not. No, that's hypothetically. Hypothetically. And we bring a new baby into the world. He's 2 days old, and we take the baby from Children's Hospital, 2 days old, and we fly that baby on over to Gay Paris. 2 years old, 2 days. What language will that baby speak if it spends all the rest of its life in Paris? But it's not French. It's American. Wait a second. Shouldn't it speak English? But she's not going to. Because when you come into the world, you have a blank tablet mind. Nothing is written on it. Did you know that? When you come into this world, guess what's on your mind, Eric? Nothing. Only how I want to eat. I got to go poo-poo. That's it. I said that was a good word. And that's all. I'm wet. I need change. That's it. Now, if I take a baby from the hospital in Paris, 2 days old, and fly that baby over to the Children's Hospital in Pittsburgh, and they cross, what language is that baby going to speak? English. But that baby's no more English than when I took him from Paris. How many understand that? Blank tablet. Blank tablet. And you know what? When you come into the world, you got a blank tablet and things get written on it. Let me tell you who's been writing on your tablet. Your parents have written on it. Did you know that? Your parents have written some things on it. And some things are good and they should stay on it. And indelible markers should stay on it. But the world has put some things on it too. Help me understand that. The world's put some stuff on it. Hollywood's put some stuff on it. TV's put stuff on it. The movies have put stuff on it. Is that a true statement? That's a true statement, right? And I want you to know that the stuff that you got written in your mind, it's still in there. And I can pull it out. Did you know that? Your mind is like a file cabinet. And it has drawers in it. And all I got to do is open up the drawers and wipe it through the files. Want to show you how I can do that? I'll say a statement, you finish it. To be or? Now, when's the last time you said that? Yesterday at lunch? You're sitting around the dinner table and say, hey, guess what, Eric? To be or not to be? Eric said, oh, cool. I mean, when's the last time you said that? Well, I did it. But everything is inside that file. Good stuff, bad stuff. And what you got to do is wipe the slate, what? Clean. And when do you do that? When you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For it says that this body is now what? Dead. Dead in Christ. All that old junk should be what? And the new has come. And when the new comes, we have a mind like what? That's the idea. Turn in your Bibles. Isaiah 26, verse 3.
Thou will keep him mind as he trusted in
thee. Yep. Who needs a little peaceful mind anymore? Anybody want a peaceful mind? Well, how many got minds that's just like a CD player? Right? I happened to me last night. Sister and I, we went to bed around 11 o'clock, and I think she or I or both of us had to go to the restroom about 2:30, laid back down, 4 o'clock came, I'm looking at the clock, I'm going, what's 4 o'clock? 4 o'clock? I don't like to get up 4 o'clock. 4:15, 4:30, 4, how many's ever had that experience? Go, come on, go to sleep! Go to sleep! And sleep doesn't come. How many's ever had that experience, right? Now you got an option. Fill your brain with all kinds of goofiness, or get the manual out and say, well, I'm up, might as well read the manual. Right? It says, for those who have the thoughts of Christ, it says that they will be in what kind of peace? Perfect peace. Not fleeting peace. You know what, brothers and sisters? There are people that have peaceful moments. There are times in our lives that we all have a peaceful moment. There could be even times that we have a peaceful hour. But there are a lot of people who do not have a peaceful life. Why? Why is that so? Peaceful moments? How many ever had a peaceful moment? I had a peaceful moment once. And a peaceful day. I had a peaceful day. But even sometimes when we go on vacation, we don't have a peaceful vacation. We have peaceful moments within the vacation. Whoever needs a vacation from the vacation? Who? And we went away for what? For rest. So how is it that we can have peace in our lives and a peaceful life? Scripture tells us, Isaiah, look at it. It says, thou will keep him in what? Perfect peace. What? Whose mind is what? Stayed on him. Stayed on him. Now, I don't want you to raise your hands. I'll embarrass you if you do. But you know, somebody, a math whiz, maybe Robin or somebody, 24 hours a day times 7 days. How many hours is that? That's a lot of hours, right? And you know, from Sunday to Sunday, we had a lot of hours, right? 24 hours a day times 7, and divide that by minutes. How many minutes would that be? How much time from last Sunday to this Sunday do you think you stayed focused on the Lord? A 24-hour day times 7 days, how many would say minuscule compared to how many hours there are in a day? Right? Minuscule. Well, you have to work this backwards. Say, well, geez, that means my mind was not stayed on him. Therefore, my peace at best is imperfect. Right? At best imperfect. So how, what's the hook to that? Well, Pastor Tom, I got to go to work. Well, that's true. That's true. And when people say that to me when I'm counseling them where I work, I say, well, that's true, but who are you working for? Well, that's the stupidest question. You're supposed to be a brilliant guy. You don't know who I'm working for. I'm working for Community Life. I said, that's your problem. That's your problem. How many understand where I'm going with that? That's the problem. What do you mean that's the problem? You see, Well, who do you work for? Because they think the answer is going to be what? Come on. I said, I work for the Lord. Well, that's, he don't pay you. Oh, yes, he does. Oh, yes, he does. See, because I'm counseling you. You're not counseling me. And so when you get up in the morning, you got to start your day for those of those who are employed outside the home. You got to say, Lord, today I'm working for you. You are my employer, Lord. Help me please you. And I can tell you straight right out, if I can please him, community life, piece of cake. Piece of cake. I won't take a pen that's not mine. I won't take a paper clip that's not mine. Why? Because he's my employer. Help me understand that. And so what has to happen is your mind has got to be stayed on him. And so when you get into your work and you're having some crisis or some kind of issues popped up, don't have your issue on that person or that circumstance. Have your mind on what? Him. Not what would Jesus do. I know what he would do. What would Jesus have me do? Because I ain't Jesus. I'm representing him. Help me understand that. And so you got to have your mind stayed focused on who? Him. Turn your Bibles. Matthew 22, verse 37.
Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind.
Heart, soul, mind. Is that leaving any parts out? I don't think so. Fact is, that kind of says who we are, right? We're like a little trinity. You know we're like a little trinity? We have our heart, which is our physicality, mind, body, and spirit. So we should love the Lord with what? Everything, every ounce of who we are. Now, I'll tell you what. You know what the hardest part to love the Lord with is with your mind. It's easy to love the heart, love the Lord with your heart. You know, that little heart just goes boom, 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 boom. I want to tell you right now, that little heart thing, that's not where you love people. You love people here. Did you know that? You love here. You choose to what? Love somebody. You choose. And so what we have got to do is love the Lord thy God with what? Our hearts, our souls, and our... Unfortunately, there's another person that you love with your mind too. Guess who that is? Yourself. Because we love to please ourselves. How many love to please yourself? I mean, buy nice things. Right? We don't have to buy nice things. And go nice places and hang around with nice people. And we like to please ourselves. And that's a healthy kind of thing. If we didn't like to please ourselves, you know, we'd be, you know, maybe under a bridge or something. So that's not real cool. But there could be too much of self and not enough of who? Him. And so what we've got to learn to do is that we've got to have the Lord thy God foremost in our minds. Because every action is preceded by a thought. Did you know that? You cannot do anything unless you what? Think it. And so if we're thinking totally about the Lord, will it affect our actions? Yes! It has to. And disciples got that. Listen, church. If you really want to be a disciple, you've got to let go of yourself. You got to bury it. And you know why it says crucify it? Because you ain't bringing it back. And some of us, we haven't crucified anything. You know, you'll leave here and you'll say, boy, Pastor Tom, he nailed it today. And you'll be like, you know, Mr. Christian on the way home until Monday morning comes. Then who gets out of bed? You. How many understand that philosophy? I mean, it's true, right? Like today, you go to, I know exactly what happened. Man, you go to McDonald's or Wheaton Park, right? And you order a number one, and they give you like a number two, and you'll say, hey, I know what to do. I'll pray for that person. Mine is boggled down with all kinds of stuff. Boggled down. But wait till Friday, when Shelly picks back in. And so what you got to understand is you got to do what with this? Sissy and I went to the Olive Garden. We went to the Olive Garden with some friends from town, and I ordered sausage and green pepper with spicy sauce on it. But it, But it came with penne pasta. I don't like penne pasta. Spaghetti's supposed to be what? Long. How many understand that? Spaghetti is long. It's not short little tubey things. It's long. Because you can't twirl the penne pasta, Ed. It's got to be long. And so I said to the lady, I want this. Wooshishara sausage stuff. I said, but I don't want the penne pasta. I want spaghetti. She goes, no problem, sir. We can take care of that for you. I said, perfect. And so a couple ordered their stuff, and Sissy ordered some steak fajita kind of thing. But I'm waiting for my spaghetti, and she brings it, and guess what I got? Penne pasta. Penne pasta. And the aroma was filling my nostrils. And they got all their food, and I looked at the lady, and said, oh, I'm so sorry. I forgot. And I said to her, your mind is consumed. I see all these people in this place. It's not that big a deal. She said to me, no, sir, it's a big deal. It's a big deal to me. I said, well, really, truly, I'm telling you, it's really not that big a deal. She said, no, sir, I'll take care of that for you. And she went and she got the spaghetti. 15 minutes later, it came back. Everybody's done eating. They're all done eating. Sissy had one bite left. I saved this for when you got yours. And I said, perfectly fine. We'll stay here a little longer, have a little fellowship. Life is full of those things, and it doesn't matter. If I'd have screamed at that lady and said something stupid to her, I'd have ruined her day. I could have ruined her night. And I still got penne pasta. What good would it do? Especially when I had Pastor Tom on. Not cool. Not cool. How many would not want to go into, you know, Pastor Tom thing hanging there? Pastor Tom, go in and start to yell at somebody with that Christian thing on. How many said that would not be a good idea? Well, guess what? You got one on too. Because you're wearing Christ. You're wearing Christ too. Now, they might not know it, but guess what? He does. Danny, you are not hiding from him. And people say, well, Pastor Tom, you're the pastor, and you're supposed to be risen to a higher standard. Oh, get a grip. Every one of us has risen to a higher standard. How many know too much has been given, much is expected? And how many of you in this room have been given more than you deserve? How many has been given eternal life? Who's been given salvation? Guess what's expected of you? Risen to a higher standard. True? How are you doing with that? Going to give you an example. Let's turn our Bibles, please. Luke 9:62.
And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God.
Aren't you glad you guys aren't plowing? Because that could be written about you. Oh, it was. Let me explain it to you. It doesn't say this in Scripture, and I'm just, you know, adding my own feeling on this. It doesn't say this in Scripture. Don't quote me. I'm just kind of thinking about it. Jesus' dad was a carpenter, right? And carpenters made stuff which were wooden. It's possible that Jesus' father made a plow. When it made of wood, right? It's even possible, I would think, that Jesus might have helped him make a plow or two. He was being raised by a carpenter. It's possible. How many understand it's possible? It's possible. And so I kind of imagine one day, because Jesus used that reference, maybe one day, you know, Joseph made a plow and Jesus helped him and a farmer came to pick it up. And Jesus said, well, can I watch how that new plow works, Dad? And, well, yeah, go ahead. And so Jesus is sitting on a hill watching the farmer use the plow that Joseph just built. Kind of get my idea? And the farmer who has this wooden plow, you know, has a horse or whatever, and he's pushing it. And Jesus is kind of noticing, you know, that this farmer is so meticulous with getting those furrows, what? Straight. Got to get the furrows straight. You know, and as the plow is going down, you know, the horse is pulling, and that farmer's paying so much attention to getting those plows straight, and every so often he takes one out of his bag. Some seed, and, you know, throws a seed into the trough, and all of a sudden the plow hits a rock bed. An obstacle's there, and so that farmer's really working hard to get that plow to continue to be what? Straight. So he said, come on, horse, you know. He goes over there. He's digging out those rocks and digging out those rocks because he still wants the thing to be straight. But follow this? And so he's pushing. How much sweat is coming down this farmer's hands on that wooden plow handle, right? Just dripping off of him. And that horse is struggling. That farmer's struggling. He finally breaks it through. And the trench has still got to be what? Straight. And he's going along. He comes up to a weed bed. A weed bat. You know, and you put it on a plastic, oh, a bunch of weeds. Hold a horse, it goes down. Then he goes inside, he pulls out all those weeds and makes sure that it's cleaned out. He's dropping some seeds in. He tells the horse, because he wants the trench to be what? In all those times, the farmer never what? Looks back. Never. There's nothing back there. He wants to look at keeping the plow straight. Everybody get that? It says, a farmer who puts his hands to the plow is not worthy for the kingdom if he continues to what? How many of you look back? Really? I mean, how many of you, including myself, continue to look back? We got one job. And that's what? Forward. And keeping our lives what? Straight. And in the process of living a life as a disciple, some days it's easy to keep it straight. Some days we're bebopping through life, listening to K-Love, and life is easy. How many understand that? How many had an easy day last week, at least one? Some days are easy. Some days it's just breezing through life, right? Praise God from whom all. But sometimes you hit a what? A pile of rocks. That's what you do. You hit a pile of rocks and you got some choices. Oh, heck with this. And go where? I ain't getting you nowhere. I'm telling you right now, a lot of us have left a lot of things back there and we don't need to go get them. How many's left some stuff back in the past you don't need anymore? You don't need to go back there and get that. Stay what? Forward. Because where's the prize? Out there. If the prize was back there, you'd have stayed back there, right? And so we're going on through life, and we hit an obstacle, and what are we going to do? We have to work hard. We got to get rid of it. But you won't get rid of it by backing up. You got to go straight. You need to go straight. Don't go around it. Go straight. If you have the faith but the size of a mustard seed, you can say that mountain move from there to there, and what? It would move. And sometimes you go along, what, and you hit a pile of weeds. What are you supposed to do? Go back? No, go forward. Go down and clean that thing out and continue forward. Help me understand that analogy. And that's what we've got to do. Disciples do not go back, and they do not quit. Church folk do. Some people go to church on easy days. Some folks will go to church when it's convenient, right? Some people will go to church, you know, when there's nothing left to do. Disciples do not make Jesus Christ an aside to their life. They make Jesus Christ the purpose of their life. How many understand that? How many still want to be disciples? You know, a lot of people say that. Is it true? I mean, is it true? When you go through life as a disciple, you've all got to understand that you are going to reach obstacles. Anybody have any obstacles last week? You'll have physical ones. You'll have what? Emotional ones. And you will have spiritual ones. Is that true? It's just not physical ones. We have physical obstacles. We have emotional obstacles. And we have spiritual obstacles, don't we? Anybody ever have just one and not the other two? But Jesus said, if you love me with what? All of your physical self, your emotional self, and your spiritual self. Why? Because you're going to have those kind of obstacles. If you have a spiritual obstacle, well, how are you going to handle it? Spiritually. Right? And Jesus says, anyone that has a plow that looks back is not worthy of my kingdom. How many remember a wife of Lot? Remember that? And yeah, she was Mortonized. It's the fish oil. Sharp. Eric, fish oil. Two capsules a day. And what happens is, you know, God delivered her. And God delivered who? You. All of you. How many's been delivered? Think where you were 20 years ago. Oh, I know where you were. Don't say it. You were just a twinkle in somebody's eye, huh? How old are you? See? But most of us were around 20 years ago. Ruby, forget it. How many were 20? How many are at least have been around 20 years ago? Think about your lives 20 years ago, or maybe further. Think about your lives when you were her age, 20. How many see life differently today? Through whose eyes? His. True? His. How many are thanking God you're not looking through life through your eyes still? I mean, let's be facing real, right? I still be like a rock star somewhere. Yeah, right. But this, you got this whole change. Your whole mind just changes. And what we've got to understand, brothers and sisters, is that we have got to develop the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ. And I'm going to give you an idea how to do that. There's a lot of us. I know a lot of us in this room struggle with anxiety. My sister does. I do. Who has anxiety issues in this room? I do. Sister Shar does. Paul does, right? Ed, Pastor Ed does. We have anxiety. What's the choice? What's the choice? To let anxiety beat us? That's not an option. It's not an option. How many have had anxiety for a long period of time? How many thought for surely you would die? Well, I got good news for you. Being that you are here, I can make an unequivocal statement, and I can back it up with my two physical therapists. Because they're here, they didn't die, right?
Right.
Person. Who's going to develop a mind like Christ? Develop a mind like Christ. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that we have the opportunity to have minds like you, Lord. Minds like you. We've got to decrease, and you have got to increase. A lot less of us and a lot more of you. Oh, Father, please, let us be able to give examples of Christ-likeness and not self-likeness. People have seen too much of us for way too long. They got to meet you now. And if we can't get them to church, let's bring the church to them. In your awesome name, we call and pray these things, and all of God's people said, Amen.